As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 302nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I'm the host of this lovely show. And joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
To paraphrase one Stokely Hathaway, today is the best day of my life because FTR are the tag team champions. And the Babes of Wrath are your inaugural AEW Women's Tag Team Champions.
Like, say it again.
Dude, I am living my best life, my favorite tag team, male tag team, and then my favorite female tag team are the Tag Team Champions of the world. I honestly did not pick this team to win the tournament. This is the official tag. I mean, as much as we love FTR, and they're my official tag team, the official tag team of All Things Elite of this group is the Babes of Wrath. Are the Babes of Wrath. Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron. So, yeah, I'm on kind of top of the world. Tag team wrestling is where it's supposed to be in the world. And, yes, baby, yes, I am in a great mood. I wanted to start with that. Second thing is, I hate football, all football, NFL, college, football just sucks right now. Now, let me tell you, for anybody that even modestly cares about fantasy football, I had the best fantasy football year. I won the regular season in my fantasy football, but not by one game, by two games. I fucking dominated. I, of course, have the bye week this week, right? Guess who's on my team? I'm like, I don't care what anybody does. It's a bye week. I have Kyle Pitts on my team. This dude literally has more points, had more points tonight than he's had in the last 6 games combined on my bye week. What kind of bullshit is that?
That's some bullshit, definitely.
Like, because next week, I'm going to be in my game, and that dude's going to put up, like, a 6.
Hey, at least you didn't go up against somebody who picked up Kyle Pitts this morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that happened.
That's worse. Yep. And, okay, so I set my league on Tuesdays, right? And I didn't check it again. So in my other league, I also have Kyle Pitts, and he is on my bench.
Yep.
So I got nothing from Kyle Pitts this week. It's almost like he didn't play. Kyle Pitts, I love you, but I'm really mad at you right now. Shout out to Kirk Cousins. I need you to be finding him again next
Kirk
week.
Kirk Thuggins returning.
Yes.
To beat the shit out of Tampa Bay just like he did last year.
Yes. Yes, yes. No, but yeah, this is the sports time of the year. It's the football time of the year. I live in the home of NBA basketball, the Oklahoma City, who...
Excuse me.
That's...
Kings of the East over here, dog?
Who has the best record in NBA? Excuse me.
Kings of the East!
Oh, okay, okay. Kings of the East. That means you get to be the first team to lose to Oklahoma City. I'm proud of you. No, I'm not going to talk shit. Honestly, not even a basketball guy. I have not watched a basketball game this year. My first basketball game that I'm going to see, I'm going to be at live January 23rd against the Pacers. So,
God, that's going to be a massacre.
Yeah, I hope. But, yeah, I know, like, I always say this, and this has been this way for years. I don't really pay attention to basketball until Christmas. All of this is really preseason to me. But, man, the Thunder are, like, the best preseason team ever. And so, yeah, I'm doing good in that way. Basketball, football's not going any good. And I do want to give one shout-out, and I want to thank my personal deity that around Saturday night, December 13th, at about 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, my nightmare is finally over and John Cena retires. Thank God.
Shouts out to Samoa Joe with the salute, I will say, on Winter is Coming. Mm-hmm. That was very cool. But, yes, as somebody who... somebody who got into wrestling in 2009, man. I mean, I was still in middle school, so I did have a little John Cena phase when I first started. And then 2011 happened, and a certain pipe bomb happened, and all of a sudden my entire trajectory was changed from that moment. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Crazy. By the time this podcast airs, tomorrow will be his last match. It's a wild moment, and yes, I will say firmly, this man has held a grip on pro wrestling for quite some time. It's fun to look back at, but in the moment, man, he has ruined some dark times.
He has ruined many WrestleManias for me, including this year.
Hang on. I will put most of the blame on that on The Rock and Travis Scott, personally, and Triple H. I'm not really going to put most of it on Cena, since Cena's just going to be like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Whatever. I can do that.
Well, John Cena...
He'll just go along with whatever.
You know what John Cena could have did and made me happy? Just go away and not say anything.
That's very true.
Just go away. Let Cody have...
The dude apparently wanted to do a full calendar.
200 and then, dates. No.
Yeah. Then Triple H was like, we only need you for like 40.
So, Cody Rhodes... didn't get to prosper as the head of the WWE, the QB1 going into his WrestleMania main event. He didn't get to do that. He had to play second fiddle to John Cena. Okay, so no, I didn't like it. But I know this is not a WWE podcast. We're not going out there. But John Cena is the of anyone 30 or under, probably one of the most recognizable names in professional wrestling. And as much as we are an AEW podcast, we are both fans of professional wrestling. So not acknowledging John Cena retiring,
it would kind of be
dickish of us. I'm like, he wasn't my favorite wrestler, but I always do this. I always play the middle ground. I will bury him forever if you give me the time. But the amount of people that love that man, the amount of smiles and all that shit, you know, the catchphrase putting smiles on faces, the amount of make-a-wish things he does. He
exactly.
seems to be probably a decent human being. I don't know him at all. I think I always thought he was a serial killer based on his time on Total Divas and Total Bellas.
Yes.
He's like, he just came off as a serial killer to me. And
having to deal with all the rules.
Yes, all the rules. And I'm just like, yeah, he probably is got some bodies buried in that attic, then that's fine. You know, he can do what he wants, but...
It's right next to the cigar room.
Yeah, it was funny. I never liked John Cena. But Total Divas and Total Bellas made me be like, okay, no, he's a terrible person. I don't even know if he's a bad
when
person.
When he debuted the character of Deke Stokes and he was doing beer pong against fucking Nikki Bella, then I was like, okay, this dude might actually be out of his mind.
Yeah, see, I truly think so. Someone sent me a video, Sam from AEW Match God sent me a video.
Shouts out.
A video of him talking about the perfect flat white, which is, you know, a drink, a coffee drink. And it was just the way that he described it. And he was going on and on. I was like, you're a serial killer, dude. You really are. You might not have actually killed anyone, but you've thought about it. You've thought about how you're going to do it and how you got away with it.
You definitely watched those, like, get away with murder documentaries. Yeah, and you were like, I could do better than that.
You might not have actually killed anyone, but you got a journal describing how you would do it if it was the case. You're like, you know, OJ's like, if I did it, it's like John Cena's like, what? Can I pull it off? You know, and he's like writing in a notebook now. But I am very happy. You know what, John Cena? You seem like a stand-up guy, so I only need you to do one thing as the stand-up human you are. Stick to your word. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. We don't need to have a Shawn Michaels retirement breaking moment where you're called back into duty like that. So I will say our homeboy Jared is a broken mess with this whole thing because he's hated this run and he's hated the fact that he's done. So, like, this could not have ended on a worse term for Jared. He is broken up about it. He's like, I'm not ready. This is bullshit. I hate this run. Triple H sucks. And, like, Jared is a mess right now. If you ask him about the Cena shit, dude, he's like, I don't even want to talk about it.
I do have one more bit of thing to take care of. Fuck the Baseball Hall of Fame. Fuck baseball. Never talk to me about baseball. I hate baseball. Zero votes. He got zero votes. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, I am talking about the greatest baseball player of all time. Number 25 for San Francisco. Number 24 for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Barry Lamar Bonds. Fuck all y'all. Fuck all you haters. Oh, he wasn't nice to the media. Blah, blah, blah.
Hey, I'm the media. What the hell?
Well, the media didn't vote him in, even though he is the greatest baseball player in history. Like, literally, he's the guy. Chipper Jones, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux. Who's the best player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. Who's the best player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. Randy Johnson. Who's the best player you ever saw? Barry Bonds. It's pretty much unanimous that he is the best player of his generation. And
there's
he
a
is
a certain thing that's got that a little bit in the...
Dude,
asterisks, if you ask some people.
It's the dumbest thing in the world to me because, again, as I pointed out to a friend of mine, if you go through every major league franchise, all of them have had a cheating scandal. All of them. Everybody. Cheating is as much a part of baseball as baseball is baseball. That is a part of it. Getting an unfair advantage is baseball, okay? It is literally built into the thing. It's like you got the Chicago White Sox or Black Sox cheating scandal, and you can go all the way up to the Spygate with Houston Astros or whatever. Cheating is a part of baseball. Dude, you don't get penalized for cheating. You just get put in the Hall of Fame, and you get awards, and you get told you're God.
All right. Well, we're a bit off topic.
Oh, no, I came in bitter because they did the vote on December 7th. I was super excited. I was like, oh, he's going to finally
win. Don't
worry,
dude. Don't worry, dude. Baseball's going to get in a lockout after this year anyway, so it's all good. Like, yeah. We're going to have no baseball after next year, so it's fine. The CBA is going to lock out, and everything's going to be gone.
So. And then they're going to be praying their players get on steroids so people watch that shit again.
Or Shohei Ohtani gets back on the mound and he starts dealing again, so.
Well, you know, Shohei Ohtani, unless he starts doing steroids, eventually the time is going to catch up with that man.
He's a unicorn. Either way, we're going to get back to things AEW related because winter is coming. just wrapped up. Dynamite's Winner is Coming. We still have Winner is Coming Collision coming up this weekend as well. So we got a lot to get into from this like loaded Dynamite that we just had air. Before we get into everything, guys, we want to make sure you're downloading this show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. We appreciate the support, and we would appreciate it if you give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Turn automatic downloads on. And then you can also follow us on Twitter. We are at ATElitePod, at Social Suplex, are the guys that make this show possible. And they have a bunch of other great podcasts on this network that you should 100% give a listen to. So check out the shows that are on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And as a reminder, we have a newsletter with Social Suplex. So sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter to get a whole bunch of wrestling content that you can learn from and hear from and just get a good read through. Link is in the description of this show to sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Big news of the week is the massive entertainment news about Warner Brothers Discovery reportedly being acquired by Netflix. So this is a very, very, very interesting turn of events when it comes to AEW's broadcasting on television and stuff like that. Now, this is still very much got to go through a whole lot of other stuff before it gets finalized and everything, but the breaking news that came out of this was absolutely insane. Floyd, just when you read that headline, Warner Brothers Discovery acquired by Netflix, kind of what is your instant reaction when you read that?
Free PLEs, baby! No, no, when I saw it, I was like, you know, another company bought another company, and I was paying, you know, of course I pay attention to Twitter and everything, and everybody's going off about whether AEW's going to get signed or nothing. And again, I will tell you, if you're going to listen to anyone on this conversation, you listen to Austin, because he at least works in the industry that he's talking about, but I know nothing about the business of TV and all that shit. As far as I know, the biggest takeaway, because I listen to the Trish and Sarah podcast, you make sure you check them out because, you know, they're like the way more serious version of us. Mm-hmm. Like, they know their shit. So as far as the business side of it, they said TV stuff is breaking off into Discovery, whatever. So technically, AEW is going to have two deals. They're going to have one with Netflix HBO Max, because that's what Netflix is actually buying. They're buying all the Warner Brothers Discovery's properties and movies, and then buying HBO Max. And the TV stuff, the actual cable channels, are going to the other company. So technically, if I understand it correctly, AEW is going to have two deals, one with the Netflix group, one with you know, the new group, which is Discovery. I forgot what it's called. It's going to be, it's called Discovery something, you know, else in there. But and I was like, and everybody's like, how does it affect AEW? I'm like, AEW has a contract through 2027. So again, really doesn't affect them right now. It may affect it.
Well, and also too, I mean, there's still, like I said, there's still more coming out about this. Just a few days ago, Paramount made a hostile bid of $77.9 billion for Warner Brothers Discovery as well. So there's still way more stuff. Like, that's why I said that was the huge news that broke. But there's a lot that's still going to come out of this regarding, like, and like a whole bunch of other things. Like, this is not something that's going to be just handled immediately, because Paramount Skydance is very much trying to get involved in this whole thing as well, too. And there's conflict of interest stuff there as well. So, I mean, there's a lot in regards to the future of Warner Brothers Discovery. It's going to be an interesting little bit, too, because obviously, you know, how this all shakes out with multimedia and everything like that, and just like how it shakes out for standards and practices and all different kinds of stuff, just like how like the FCC basically lets something like this go. Because I mean, like, you're getting very close to like monopoly level stuff with this, I feel like, personally, with at least my personal opinion. Like, that's such a massive, like, yoink moment. So, I don't know. Like, it's going to be – this isn't going to get settled for a while, but it's going to be – it's going to be interesting at least. So, at least as of this moment right now, like, AEW still on Turner Broadcasting. It's still on TBS. It's still going to be airing on TBS and HBO Max as normal until we figure out what the hell ends up figuring out with this Warner Brothers Discovery sale. And if it goes through with Netflix, or Paramount Skydance is going to fight back with their hostile bid, and if that ends up switching everything all up, or if this thing, I don't know. Who knows where this goes at this point, but a lot of it is still in the air.
Absolutely, and that's what made the reason, other than this being major news, the reason I wanted to say is there's nothing to worry about right now. Right now, Dynamite still comes on Wednesdays, Collision comes on Saturdays, you still can watch the pay-per-views on HBO Max. That's all that really affects you as an AEW fan, and I know a lot of people are, you know, going off the deep end, saying doomsday. Just understand, Tony Khan, very rich, it comes from a very rich family that has an NFL team. The relationships that he has probably cultured and developed and all this stuff over years, don't sell him short. You know, I don't think he's going to be on the losing end of this. This dude keeps getting deals, keeps putting on good TV. So just, I'd say chill out. Don't worry about it for right now. But, you know, we should, you know, being an AEW podcast, you know, when they're the parent company of the channel that they're on gets bought, I think that's relevant news.
Absolutely. No, this is 1,000%. Like, it's at least stuff that, like, is going to perk up the ears of AEW fans, at least just for the time being. Like, again, this deal is still not even close to being over the finish line. So, for right now, I will keep you posted if anything more comes out about this, or if anything more finite comes out about this, because we're not going to just spend every week about rumors about Warner Bros. Discovery. Yeah. Once stuff finite comes out that, like, has actual, like, bam, like, okay, progress has been made on one end or the other, or whatever the hell's going on, we will let you guys know. But, I mean, if the breaking news of it immediately caught everybody's eye.
All I need to know is where I can watch my friends in Harry Potter. That's all I care about.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so.
Also, if you're a fan of, if you have HBO Max to watch AEW as well, I would highly recommend you watch the Welcome to Derry series. Very, very entertaining, very good horror, very, very fun stuff, especially if you're a fan of Stephen King and the It franchise. It is very, very good.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pass because I like the
story. I was going to say, I know you ain't even touching any of that.
No, like, I'm gonna, like, it's horror. It's got clowns.
Yes.
I'm like, you lost me right there. Yeah,
are you somebody who's afraid of clowns?
I am not afraid of clowns. I don't like clowns. There's a difference. Okay. It's gonna hurt your soul when I say this. It's like how I feel about cats. I'm not as scared of cats. I don't like cats. I don't want to be around cats.
That's fine. I'm not hurt about that.
Yeah, like,
some people just don't like cats.
Yeah, I'm a dog guy.
Yeah, that's fine. No, see, me, I will say, this will be a little off-topic thing, and then we'll get into Winter is Coming, Dynamite. I legitimately, growing up as a kid, had a fear of clowns, and specifically, one clown in particular scared the piss out of me as a kid.
Who was that?
Do you know this?
Krusty the Clown?
Krusty the Clown. It was Ronald McDonald.
Wow.
I don't know what happened, basically, when I was like maybe 3 or 4 years old. I was at a family friend's house. And do you remember, like, when McDonald's used to have, like, it wasn't like a cartoon show or something, but, like, they had, like, actual, like, Ronald McDonald, like, content that would be, like, animated, like, things or whatnot. I don't know if it was a legitimate TV show or if it was just whatever the case may be. There was some McDonald Land thing that was animated and stuff like that. I saw the physical, like, they also had live action things with Ronald McDonald on commercials and stuff like that. I saw something with that clown as a kid and I started losing my shit. Like, I was freaking out. And, like, throughout, like, early age, like, that I can remember at least, I would have nightmares of basically being eaten like a chicken McNugget by that clown. Scared the shit out of me. Like, now, nothing. No issue whatsoever. Clowns don't freak me out. The Pennywise clown played by Bill Skarsgård actually is one of the funniest things in the world. That shit makes me laugh so hard. Like, it's funny as hell.
As a kid, though,
Ronald McDonald scared the fuck out of me.
So I think I had the exact opposite. Because I grew up loving clowns, Ronald McDonald, and there was this TV show called Bozo the Clown. And I fucking loved Bozo. I wanted to win a Schwinn bicycle and a radio flower wagon so bad. Love me some clowns. Then I got older, and my when I say older, like 6 or 7, but my brother's like nine years older than me. So I think it was like It, Attack of the Killer Clowns, all that shit he kept, you know, putting into me. And when he did that,
when you say It, you're talking about the Tim Curry one, right?
Yes. I was done with clowns after that. And so I leave clowns alone. They're supposed to be your friend, but they want to fight you and kill you and murder you, especially if you're children. So I'm good on the clowns forever. Like I said, I'm not scared of clowns. Like if someone's dressed as a clown or a clown, I think it's like fine. I'm like, cool. I'm not going over there to give him a hug or anything, but you know.
Yeah, you just stay on your side. You keep it pushing and I'll keep it pushing.
Yeah, my favorite clown is, of course, Krusty the Clown because...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's simple.
Because he's so angry and I dig it. And I'd be angry if I was a clown too.
Yeah, especially for a bad Saturday morning TV show. Like, his TV show that he had to do with Dr. Nick and everything, dude, like... He was smoking cigarettes on the side every chance he got. So, he did not like kids. Not even a little bit. Regardless, getting back to our AEW conversation, we go into Winter is Coming Dynamite, which took place in Atlanta, Georgia, and the show opened with the finals of the inaugural AEW Women's Tag Team World Championship Tournament between the Babes of Wrath, Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron versus the Timeless Love Bombs, Timeless Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. Overall, match I thought was pretty solid to good. I think there was a couple moments where things got a little trying to make sure you get your the timing in on certain moves and just making sure things looked well enough. I thought Willow wrestled her ass off in this match too. She really was showcasing her skills in this. Mina also too, I will say, the moment where she had Harley Cameron in the figure four deathlock and then spinning over Willow into a DDT to just attack that on, I thought was a really good move. I did think the moment where both of them had figure fours on as well, I was like, hey, Willow, you do realize Harley's the legal woman in this match. Maybe you want to break up the pin before you actively, because she could go ahead and put Toni in the figure four or whatever, but if Harley taps right next to you, the match is over. That was the one spot I was like, I understand what they were doing, but my nerd wrestling brain was like, break up the submission. If she taps, you lose. She's the legal woman. Like, what are we doing here?
Go ahead and try to win. You know, win.
Yes,
you know,
correct.
Winning. That's the thing that we're trying to do.
I was like,
here,
hey, let's not lose this match. I want my girls to win. The suplex to the outside as well too was a really great spot. But really good moment where Harley reverses out of Mina's I can't remember what her finish is, but she's able to mix things up and basically come out and hit her finishing move and then tags in Willow and then hits the power bomb on Mina.
The babe and, with like, the power bomb.
The babe with the power bomb, yes. And our girls, the official tag team of all things Elite, the Babes of Wrath, are your first ever AEW Women's Tag Team Champions.
Dude, they could lose the titles next week. You can't take that away from them.
You can't take away the first.
They're going to be the first ever AEW Women's World Tag Team Champions ever. Willow is the first wrestler in AEW history to hold both the TBS title and then the tag team belts. What? Yes. Now
and
she has
Harley
to do-
Cameron and Harley Cameron has her first ever gold in AEW. First title ever in AEW.
I truly think she's the only person in QTV ever to hold a title.
Correct.
The most successful member of QTV, Harley Cameron. Thank you. Thank you, QT Marshall, for bringing her in our lives.
QT Marshall will always have a soft spot in my soul for putting Harley on the map. Now, yes. Harley put herself on the map with AEW when she came out and she rapped Rap God in front of the Acclaimed. That had very little to do with QTV for the most part, but she got her start thanks to the QTV boys right over there in AEW. So, but
shout out to the Captain Sean Dean. I was listening to a podcast and he named Willow as one of the people that he figured and got her used as an extra and got her booked on the show. So he brought Willow into my life. So I'm going to always salute you for that, Captain. And yeah, dude, I am so ecstatic. I've been like, it's time to push Willow. I'm like, I'm generally a patient wrestling fan. I wait as long as you want. I expect you have, but I feel like Willow has been the main baby face in the women's division pretty much for a couple years now. And the fact that she hasn't, you know, been in that world title picture is always like lost on me.
Yeah.
But
if she's not the main baby face, if people want to still say Tony is, like, she's 1B basically. It's 1A and 1B,
yes,
for baby faces.
Yeah, I don't know. And like, literally, part of a wrestling group, I don't know anyone that doesn't like Willow. I'm not saying she's everybody's favorite pillow person, but I don't know anyone that doesn't like Willow.
I'll tell you right now, my buddy who is in my sports media world, who I tell you has the worst wrestling opinions in the world, he says he doesn't like Willow or Harley.
Okay, and that's fine, because we acknowledge.
And again, like I said, I acknowledge his opinions, and I still acknowledge he has the worst wrestling opinions in the world.
Oh, dude, and I even say this. I like things and focus on things that other people don't, so that's fine. It's kind of like, it was funny, because it's cool. I was on this perfect thing. I'd never even heard anyone say, well, Willow's just okay. No, like, literally, everyone I know loves Willow. So the idea that there's someone out there that doesn't like her, hey, you know, that's at least letting me know she's not all the way perfect. She's like, she's 99.9%, you know, that kind of.
Right.
No, but, yeah, very unorthodox tag team, but very fun tag team. You got the Willow who, you know, does the hair heavy lifting when it comes to wrestling. And, you know, Harley Carey does the heavy lifting when it comes to the personality side of it. What are we?
And her wrestling, and again, her wrestling has gotten better. Like, that to be pointed out, too. It's like, she's gotten better, too. Like, you've seen tremendous improvements in, like, the year and a half, I think, or 2 years that she's really gotten some time to shine, I feel like. You've seen the true growth of her in-ring ability. And again, like, her on camera and just promo and acting ability and just her character work, it's second to none. Like, it's just people love her vibe. They love seeing her whenever she pops up on TV. And, like, let's be frank, she's a bombshell. Like, you're going to look at her every time she shows up on TV. Like, she has that can't look away, like, look, you know what I mean? Like, so. And her paired with Willow, I mean, it's just good vibes. Like, I just see that, and it's just good vibes. The Babes of Wrath are good vibes, and I'm so happy they got this rub. I'm so happy they're the first ever AEW Women's Tag Team Champions.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Congratulations to them, the official tag team of All Things Elite, on winning the titles.
Yes. We had a quick little promo backstage with Samoa Joe, basically saying Eddie Kingston will get what he wants because he will be getting the reality of what this business truly is. John Moxley came back basically and was like, he had a promo backstage with the Death Riders saying, like, go ahead, doubt me, because we just continue to fight on whenever our backs are against the wall when it comes to him and the CCC and the Continental Classic. So he's like, go ahead and doubt me. Like, see what happens. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I will. You can say that, Moxley, but I'm just saying right now, man, I don't know necessarily about the boys and girl behind you and how much they got with you.
I had this thought process that they might not ever turn on Mox. So if you think of what the Death Riders are, it reminds me of a lot of what Suzuki Goon was.
Suzuki Goons, yeah.
And fucking Suzuki lost all the time. Like, all the time, and his group never turned on him. Shit, to the point where he's the one that disbanded his own group. So I'm just like, Mox is like, hey, you win some, you lose some. He's never stated that he was this undefeatable person. He's just said everybody's a bunch of amateurs. A turn really doesn't have to happen, but I can tell you something that has made me think a turn is super imminent. Is how in this show, and over the last couple of weeks, they presenting Renee. And Renee is not just at the show. She is in the show. She is down by the ring. She is out there. And it just feels like she is ripe for Marina Shafir to beat the shit out of her.
Hey, I'm just saying right now, Marina's got to watch out because she just kicked the shit out of RJ City. Like,
oh, yes.
Let's not forget that this woman put RJ City in the dirt.
Shout out to RJ City on what we have been told is his last show. I don't believe it, but we will see.
They did a whole credits for Hey Ew.
Yeah, I saw that, and I still don't believe it. I think he's just going to George Costanza this thing and just show up next week like nothing ever happened. Just to keep doing the show.
The fucking segment with him and Eddie was killing me, dude. Yes. Like, I don't walk like that. When do I ever do that?
Dude, Eddie Kingston, man. He just seems like he could go from zero to pissed off in like no seconds. He's like Lamborghini of anger.
He went to zero and pissed off when he was at Disney World. You've seen that video with him and Ethan Page when they were talking about Eddie Kingston in Disney World and wanting to die.
No, I didn't.
You haven't seen that? No. Oh my god. One of my favorite Eddie Kingston videos is him. He was doing Ethan Page back when he would do like podcast stuff with the AW guys, and he talked about how he hates Disney World. He's like, because my ex-girl made me go, and like Ethan Page and like Zack Ryder and all of them are big Disney people. He's like, my sciatica is acting up, and like we're in the middle of Disney World basically, and like his girl's doing something or whatever, and then, like, it starts pouring raining, and Eddie's just standing in the center of, like, Disney World. He's, like, the happiest place on earth or whatever, and he just looks up at the sky and just screams, "Fuck!" And, like, there's kids around, and they're all just like, "Ugh!" And his girl brings him, his ex-girl brings him over, he's like, "Eddie, come here, and he's like, "I don't want to fucking be here!" I just got my picture with Tigger and Pooh Bear, and that's all I needed. Like, those are my two favorites. And I'm like, he knows game, though. He knows game.
I love Tigger, because he's my, you know, I can't say that on the show.
Eddie did ask Tigger if he wanted to hit the town, though. Like, yeah. He's like, "What's up, brother? You want to hit the town?"
Yeah, no.
I'm going to send you that video after the show so you can see it, actually. Because Eddie does it better than I ever could.
I'd have to know what hitting the town with Eddie Kingston is like. Because he doesn't like people. So,
Correct.
What would you do in this so-called hitting the town situation? It's like, where
I don't
are
think there's
go?
A situation where Eddie Kingston might hit the town. I don't know if he'll hit the town with you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's like, he doesn't really like people. So, what are we doing here, as he would say? What are we doing here? I love when he says that. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, it's so aggressive, and it's so New York. And, you know, with my job, I work with, fortunately people with New York, and it's just like that attitude, that edge is there. They're like, they do not take shit.
No.
Even if you had no intention of giving them shit, and you have no, they will find a way that you were trying to give them shit and say, "I ain't taking it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I have a very hard time communicating with New Yorkers. I really do. I love them. Don't get me wrong. But Yes, I'm a very like passive, not angry person. And New York people to an Oklahoman. I'm just saying, relative to how we're used to dealing with people in Oklahoma, New York people come off very angry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that's a pretty fair statement, I will say. But we'll move on to the next match of the show, which is the Continental Classic Gold League match. Floyd, do you want to tell everyone what the news was going into this match, since there is a change in the Continental Classic talent pool? Do you want to go ahead and do you want to run this by everyone? Because I can't be bothered at this point.
My guy, Darby Allin, got hurt on some innocuous move with Kevin Knight.
It was like it was the coast to coast drop kick. Yeah,
like
say.
A kick to the face. All the shit he puts himself through, and he gets hurt on a kick to the face. So they told him out the league. He says he feels fine. They're protecting him from him, so that's cool. He is being replaced. So this is great. CM Punk's first opponent is being replaced by CM Punk's last opponent. That was funny. I know. You didn't got to tell me. shout out to my boy Jack Perry, who is replacing replacing Darby Allin in the C2. Hey, you get welcome to the C2. You're already down a match. You're already at zero. You're starting from behind. Hey, guess who you get to wrestle? The greatest tournament wrestler in history, Kazuchika Okada.
The one thing that gave me solace about my favorite wrestler in AEW, Darby Allin, being replaced by my least favorite wrestler in AEW, Jack Perry, is that he had to literally go into a tournament battle with, like you said, the greatest tournament wrestler probably of all time, the unified champion, Kazuchika Okada. Oh. But man, when I tell you, not only did this man get closed like Rainmaker to hell by this man, he also then proceeded to get jumped by the Don Callis family after the fact. Oh, my heart grew three sizes that day. I was about ready to pledge my allegiance to the Don Callis family right then and there. Well, the moment they started slapping that dude up.
You kind of skipped over a part where they invited him to join first.
Hey, listen.
They wanted him in.
But again, we all understand that Jack Perry's a dumb fuck. This man still believes that he can somehow, like, make it out on his own. Like, not, let's fail to mention that, again, he got saved by his dinosaur buddy and his elite comrades. Like, this guy had the opportunity to once again hide in a group like he has his entire career. And instead, he decides to think he's got the cojones to try to fight like 12 people that are in the ring, because there's that many people that are in the Don Callis family and they're all in the ring at the same time. And he decides to bring a knife to a gunfight, and they start beating the fuck out of him until, you know, the dinosaur and his elite comrades come and save his ass. But whatever the fact is, the match itself, actually, if I'm being honest to God, like, it was actually a good match. Like, I thought
commentary did a great job on that match.
They really were able to, like, give a lot of, what you were going to say, yeah?
Yeah, they were saying, oh, he hasn't wrestled in a singles match in over a year. He's been basically a tag team wrestler. He didn't know he was going to be in the tournament.
Yeah, he came into this tournament cold.
And it's just like, dude, if they protected him with his words. And it wasn't really like losing. There is nothing wrong with losing to Kazuchika Okada in a tournament setting. But they definitely were like going out of the way to say, hey, this was a terrible situation to get in. He's down a match. He's got to wrestle Okada. He hasn't wrestled singles in forever. It was just like, I just thought it was so brilliant. It was felt like it was so sports-based, because that's stuff you would bring up in a sport. One day when Tyrese Halliburton comes back, and you're like, oh, he's coming back from an Achilles injury. Or when certain players, oh, he's coming back from a shoulder injury. That is a part of the sports base. You're acknowledging that, hey, tag team wrestling, singles wrestling, two different things, you know, there's a stamina relationship with it, and he all happens to be going against one of the best wrestlers in the world. So I very rarely just like, I felt like commentary, like I don't pay attention to commentary. I tell you that all the time. But yeah. I really felt like they added so much color to this match specifically.
And again, too, I really want to see, like, in these CC matches, too, like, the biggest thing that you can do with these Continental Classic matches, too, because it helps so much, especially if people are popping in and, like, say, Winter's Coming is the first show that they're watching right now, and, like, we're in the middle of the CC, so if you just, like, come into this and you're not exactly sure about, like, the tournament and, like, the whole, like, story going into this and, like, what the previous matches have been and, like, just, like, what segment of the tournament we're in right now with just how things have been shaken out. Like, that's where I rely on commentary a lot to do a lot of heavy lifting. So, and they did do a good job, I will say, in terms of, like, giving a lot of, like, a lot of shine to Jack Perry. Like,
fact that I noticed should tell you how good of a job that they did.
Yeah. And again, too, I mean, like, overall, I mean, the match itself was solid, I thought. Like, I thought Jack coming out of the gate, trying to just start laying in haymakers, diving to the outside. I don't know who the camera guy was that was trying to save Jack when he got drop kicked off the top rope, but you were the dumbest man alive. You should have just let that dude hit concrete. Like, what are you doing trying to save this man's ass?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury. The consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yes. But there was a really, really good moment where Okada is able to basically fight his way out of the snare or whatever the hell, like the snare trap. He fights out of the snare trap by biting Jack's hand, and then the spot of the match by far was when fucking goddamn Jack out here biting another man's dick to get out of a tombstone pile driver. Like really? Like really? We're just gonna gloss by that.
I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared. I mean, there are defensive maneuvers, and then there's whatever the fuck that was. So yes.
I will say the one thing I will give Jack Perry credit for was he wasn't the dumb babyface to immediately grab a steel chair on the outside and not like he didn't even think for a second to use it. Like he picked it up like had it for a second and then tossed it to the side. So he didn't at least do that. However, then immediately afterwards he got caught into a Rainmaker. Kept that arm control and then tried to go for it again. He ducked under. Good moment where he tried to drop kick Jack, but he was able to get out of it. But Jack took way too long to try to do his dumb knee thing and then gets caught by Okada. and do a nice side slam or whatever, and spinning side slam, and then gets Rainmakered, and then he gets put on his ass. And again, I, for that moment in time where Jack was out there getting curb stomped by every member of the Don Callis family, I was like the Grinch. My heart grew three sizes that moment. Like, it was truly a wonderful experience. And Jack Perry, since he's taken over Darby's spot, is currently, if we look at the Continental Classic standings as they are right now, he and Roderick Strong are the only two wrestlers with 0 points out of the first out of their first two matches, basically.
My ongoing joke will be I have the same amount of points as both Jack Perry and Roderick Strong.
Well, I mean, every year, though, at least one person finishes with 0 points in the Continental Classic. I looked this up in terms of the results in each one. So in 2020, in the inaugural one, Jay Lethal was the one with 0 points. And then in last year's, Beast Mortos was the one with 0 points, which, first of all, I still think is an absolute crime that Beast Mortos didn't get a single win. And obviously Juice was in the tournament too, but then he had got injured and he couldn't continue anymore in that. So unfortunately, Darby becomes the second person to have to be dropping out in the middle of the Continental Classic. So I'm just saying, man, at least one person's going to finish in this damn tournament with 0 matches. History be thy guide. In the last 2 years, at least one person finishes with 0 points in the tournament. And it needs to be Jack Perry. It needs to be Jack Perry.
Well, it
needs to be Jack Perry.
I could see it being Jack Perry. But, you know, maybe no one finishes with 0 this year because of that.
I refuse. We must keep the tradition alive. Somebody's got to finish with 0.
Someone's got to finish with 0.
Yep.
Roddy Strong. I mean, it could lead to Roddy Strong's super heel turn where he just gets pissed.
If Roderick Strong can't find a way to beat, like, either Mascara Dorada or Orange Cassidy, because...
Well, he already lost. He lost to
Orange Cassidy. So he's got to win against Dorada. I feel like that one's got to be the case. Like, just get one win against Dorada, and you can be able to escape with just 3 points. Or draw. He could get a draw. Yeah, he could find a way to get at least 1 point out of a draw.
Yes.
Absolutely. Just run away from Claudio, like, for 20 minutes.
I get it. Yeah, that's what he should do. Run away.
So, yeah. Just escape with a point. That's all you need to do. If you're not gonna win, just escape with a point. Just do what you can do. There was real quickly, we had a backstage video thing with a nice little showcase of. I'm glad they showed this on TV. They actually did a great moment of showcasing Mercedes Moné losing to Red Velvet at Final Battle. I keep forgetting the Ring of Honor pay-per-view schedule every fucking time. Final Battle, Red Velvet beat Mercedes Moné for the women's Ring of Honor Women's Championship. So huge, absolutely huge moment for Red Velvet, first of all. And I love that they used the video package to show that and then also just show how much it was affecting Mercedes as well. Like, I did really love that they showed that on TV. Since Mercedes wasn't on this episode, I was glad that they mentioned that as well. And since that got mentioned too, like, Floyd, I would love to hear your thoughts overall of just Final Battle. Did you get to watch show in its entirety not yet?
I watched the whole thing and I fell asleep. I don't want to, you know, like, I'm not going to go in. I just think, man, so you get Ring of Honor has 4 pay-per-views a year. You have the amount of people that they have, and you have the amount of people that they have access to. Man, for me, it was Nigel McGuinness versus Lee Moriarty, 30-minute Iron Man match. Put me right out. And, I was just trying to recover after that. Shout out to both of them. Generally, I just was not in a position on a Friday night to sit and watch a 30-minute technical wrestling match. But, when I watched the rest of it, I thought it was a decent, you know, good to decent. The Survival of the Fittest match was good. Athena, 3-year reign as the ROH.
It continues.
forever champion. I was actually there when she won the first title the first time against Mercedes Martinez, and then she beat Persephone this time, which it was a really good match. If I had to say watch one match from that show, that would be it. I know some people that were higher on the Nigel McGuinness and Lee Moriarty match.
I just really liked the Velvet and Mercedes match. I mean, it didn't even pass over 15 minutes, and I thought both girls did like insanely good work.
And they did, and that roll up was classic, and that was the
dude. The response was huge,
and that was the perfect
it reminded me of a response to a match that we're gonna get to from this show.
Yeah, it was the perfect way to do it. It was just like Bandido is on this run of great matches. Why couldn't you just pick one of those guys and let them go one-on-one and just let Bandido do what he wants? It was like whole I knew Bandido was going to win, so I kind of like, I'm watching the match, and I'm like, it's fine, but Bandito's going to win. There was no one in there.
I'm just saying, man, I don't understand how Blake Christian gets into the final three. Is all I'm saying.
Yes, he was actually
justice for Sammy Guevara, man.
Blake Christian was actually undefeated all year in ROH. So that was
insane.
That was actually built kind of well. My whole thing was this. You got Bandido, you got a singles, you got a roster, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I was like, you know who I want to see? Because they seem like they're physical twins. I want to see Pac versus Bandido.
Bro, for real, though.
Dude,
honestly,
they are little short muscle men that can do things that athletically that we only can do in our dreams, that some of us can't even pull off in our dreams. They would have fucking smashed each other. Dude, like, as far as that final battle. And that's what I was like, dude, the whole access to these roster, hey, how about you do the survival of the fittest or whatever or add another guy. You know, make them the number one contender, and then you just have Bandido versus Pac and just let them throw out the banger. It's like when you have somebody like Bandido, it's like that's hot like right now. It's like almost, I'm not saying he's Kenny Omega, but it's like when we had Kenny, Impact was using Kenny Omega, and it's just like, dude, use him. All people want to see Bandido in a singles match for the title doing Bandido shit. And I just felt like the survival of the fittest, even though it did a good job as it could, I felt like there was something missing, and it was just that Bandido having that match with one person where he gets to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So moving forward, though, we have Eddie Kingston with a backstage promo where he was talking about facing Samoa Joe, and he said it was good to have fear because he was nervous. It kept, and he's like, I've been thinking about the GOAT of professional wrestling, Terry Funk. It's the 50th anniversary of him winning the world title. I know he's watching. I know my mom and dad are watching. And he was starting to get emotional. And he said the reason why he's been emotional through this whole thing is that you don't know how many times they're going to have a shot. He's already 0-2 in world title matches, and you just don't know. He's like, I'm really trying hard to do this because I want to crash out right now, but I have respect for you. He said, Joe, I know you're watching, and you're stretching, getting ready with your homies and Hook. You're going to fight for your life, dog. I ain't going down easy. So I love that he immediately like sets up how much of an underdog he is going into this. I love the way that he set that whole thing up, basically. It was a good promo backstage.
Me too. And let me tell you, I love how much wrestlers love Terry Funk.
Yeah.
I am not like, as far as me, I started watching early 80s, and I'm not a big, hey, I'm not going to go back and watch a lot of people's history of wrestling. I'm not going to go find old wrestling. I always tell you, there's enough new wrestling. Why am I finding old wrestling?
Yep.
But, dude, if you just listen, Dax, Eddie Kingston, all these people that just really love Terry Funk, it has me tempted to go back and watch him because they love the shit out of that man. And he was like, he was always, middle-aged and crazy. He was that guy. And I saw Chainsaw Charlie. I never saw prime Terry Funk, so.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm missing out on how good he was, but I also know I'm too lazy to go do the research.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, the amount of people that have huge respect for guys is clear, so.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead. Next, we had TNT champion Mark Briscoe in the ring, and he was talking about his upcoming match against Daniel Garcia on Winners Coming Collision in Cardiff, Wales, and basically said, haters and doubters, y'all can kiss my big white ass. And he said, it's one thing to be a champion, but to reign and defend it, that's a whole different thing. Yuta comes out, and he starts talking trash, and he's with Marina Shafir and Daniel Garcia, and then they get head-to-head, and basically Briscoe is sad. It's going to be even more sad when Garcia beats him for the TNT title to become a two-time champion, and Briscoe's going to have to figure out how to provide for his family with a broken leg. And Briscoe responds by saying, you may be fighting for this title in Cardiff, but you shouldn't deprive the people of Atlanta with a fight tonight. Garcia was trying to start something, and then he gets hit in the face by Briscoe. Then Shafir and Yuta are holding him back, basically, as he gets out of the ring. And they're just kind of holding him back, stopping him from getting involved and saving it for Saturday night. It was a decent enough segment for the most part. I am excited for the match for Collision. I'm excited that we have this. Hopefully, does this go main event, you think? For it feels like it has to for Collision is Winner is Coming, right? Because I understand we're also going to have Claudio versus Takeshita, like in the Continental Classic. Wow,
I'm probably going to go Claudio versus Takeshita, but it's the TNT title on TNT, so.
Correct. I feel like it has to main event. Like, out of the four matches that we have announced right now, the only match I would think that would go further, like go higher, is that match. But it is just it's a Continental Classic match. Like, we knew it was coming anyway. Whereas this, it's got to be the main event, I feel, first of all. Also, let's give a shout-out, too, to Mark Briscoe for returning the tradition of having your own custom TNT Championship belt.
Yes. I still think Scorpio Skies was the best ever, but I do like that this Collision is going to be in Cardiff, Wales, because I actually watched the show there and it was one of the best crowds I ever been to. And
the European crowds, man, they know how to get down.
Dude, it's one of those crowds. Like, again, I've got to live a lot of good lives, but I would relive that show any day if it was possible. That's how amped up it was. It's like almost didn't even matter. And then Britt Baker was on the show. Remember her? Yeah, she used to wrestle for AEW. She was really good. And and it was like she had a killer promo with Mercedes. And yeah, I was just like, I just remember it. And Cardiff, like, I was not there long. I was there a day. But as far as the energy and the people there, dude, that's where I would just, if I stayed anywhere in Europe, based on the very minimal places that I visit, I would live in Cardiff.
Yeah, I mean, you know how much I want to be in any part of Europe, dude. For real. Or specifically the UK. Like, you have no idea how much I would love to be over there at some point.
I think you dig Cardiff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would dig it. I would dig the fuck out of it for sure. We go in next to first little quick promo where Chris Statlander chases off the Triangle of Madness with a steel chair to fight away Thekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue, basically. And then we had the Tornado tag team match between Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland teaming up right here to face off against Powerhouse Hobbs and Katsuyori Shibata of the Ops. And this match had some wild ass shit. Just basically kind of trying to go a little bit of an anarchy in the arena style, but in a tornado tag match. Swerve comes out with his staple gun and is stapling guys from the Ops Dojo. I will say firmly, though, still, it's going to take me a minute to get used to Swerve's new theme. Like, it's truly going to take me a minute. It's too hard, man.
If he was coming back as a heel, this music
the song would slap, absolutely.
If he was coming back as heel, but as a face, I'm sorry, sir. There's
You have a brand.
Yeah, you have a brand, and you have something that people attach to you. Again, you're supposed to always evolve. You're supposed to be always trying something new.
But absolutely.
Your entrance theme is your signature. It is your, hey, this is how
and also
people know you're coming.
And then, also, what is Nana going to do?
Yeah, and there's a huge crowd participation part to your original theme. And you see them doing the dance on this new song, and it doesn't match up.
There's
no real rhythm to catch on to. Like, I am not saying the song is bad. I am not saying the song is a bad wrestling theme song. I'm not saying either one of those two. I actually like the song. I bought the song. I bought the song and downloaded when it released yesterday. Don't get me wrong. I like the song. I don't think it works as a wrestling entrance. And I hope that doesn't make me an asshole for thinking that, because I just don't think.
I just feel like it's as a babyface, man. It's an easy pop. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just take the easy pops. Like, you know, Swerve doesn't need an easy pop, but, like, I mean, man, it's, I understand, like, he kept the Who's House, Swerve's House, at least, but, like, I don't know, man, the Swerve When I Drive, man, it's just too much of a banger, I feel like.
And I gotta say, I am a part of the rhythmless nation. I cannot dance worth a shit, but when that song came on, you had me going out. There are video out there of me dancing along to Swerve's music.
Yep.
So I'm just saying. If they can get my fat ass to move around, that's a good ass. That's a banger that you should never go away with. But this is where I'm at right now with it. He's trying to get this new entrance on. I wouldn't change it anytime soon, because these are things you have to give it time to grow. You got to get time people to get in soul, because I don't think Judas was that popular originally, and then everybody got the sing-along with Judas came along. So I don't know where the song is going to live, but my initial reaction to it is, give me back my old song.
And hey, when Jericho turned heel, he made the smart decision and changed that immediately.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. If Swerve was coming back and turning and was a heel, that new music fits perfectly.
Correct. But
as the franchise of AEW, this super face, the most violent man, in wrestling. Hey, man, you need your old music back.
I agree. Now, Hangman at one point is going to put Hobb through a table through the concourse area. Shibata had one of the funniest moments where he ran to kick Swerve sitting in a chair. And, like, they put out a gif of it, and it looks absolutely ridiculous. Like, that spot to me made me laugh. Like, Shibata literally jumps over, I think, the camera cord. He jumps over the camera cord and then just kicks him square in his chest as he's just sitting there ready to get hit in the chair. To me, that was very funny. The ops would regain control for a little bit, but then a Swerve stomp would break up a submission from Katsuyori Shibata. And Swerve and Hangman showing some really strong tag team chemistry, actually doing some good stuff together. Kind of like, you know, you almost forget that these two men were at each other's throats not even like a little over a year and a half ago, like 2 years ago, actually, for being honest.
This is wrestling at its finest. Hey, they were sticking needles in each other's face and blah, blah, blah. Swerve hands him a chain at All In, and
yep,
they don't hate each other as much. Now, again, when you don't forget about this when it comes to it, they do have that. They share glances. They're not buddy-buddy. They're just like, they have this uneasy truce right now. But it feels like they could be back to killing each other at any time.
At any moment, yes. But they have this shared respect for one another. The match itself was good. If there was something I was going to point to as, like, maybe, I don't even think it was, like, necessarily the weakest part of the show. Like, I mean, like, in terms of the matches, at least, I still think it was a good match. It had some fun spots in it. And, like, I just feel like it was really good to basically take care of Shibata and Hobb, so that way you knew Hook was the only guy basically that was going to get involved in anything revolving the main event. So it helped out Eddie Kingston knowing that, hey, you don't got to worry about these two. They're taken care of basically today.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were out and No, I really did enjoy this match. This was a fun match. I'm not going to put a, I wouldn't put like stars on it. It was just fun, violent, physical. It was an all-star match. It's like, it was the all-star game of wrestling. So I definitely thought it was great, and I thought it was what they needed to be. When they start fighting each other, it's going to make it better. I like, because I'm of the opinion that the match for what's it called? World's End is going to at least be a triple threat match. It might end up being a fatal four way.
It's very, it looks like it could lean towards that way. Definitely looks like it could. A quick moment where Stokely runs down Austin Gunn and Juice Robinson, saying that they're going to get their shot for the AEW Tag Team Championships next week in Manchester, England for Dynamite. And then we move right in to not only the match of the night, but what has been described as the AEW TV match of the year. And it's literally within the last 2 or 3 weeks of the year.
Oh, so
it's the Continental Gold League match, Continental Classic Gold League match between Speedball Mike Bailey and the Protostar Kyle Fletcher. First time meeting in AEW, and it went fucking insane.
Okay, so this Speedball Mike Bailey guy's pissing me off. I talked to Austin before the show, and he's pissing me off because he has a terrible look. Yeah, he has the mullet, he has the bare feet. It's kind of short.
Show some respect. He's got the Balatro gear.
I can't stand him. I don't even know what that is. So, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, everything about him, I can't stand. I can't stand his smile. I can't stand his, when he's taking his feet and hitting people's hands with it. Disgusting. I hate everything about him.
He has the same feelings towards Speedball Mike Bailey that MVP has towards Speedball Mike Bailey.
Okay. And then this thing happens, and it's a terrible thing that happens. The bell fucking rings, and this dude is fucking magnificent. Oh, my God. He is so fucking good. I hate it. I hate it. I want to hate him. I want to dislike him. He's so fucking good. Oh, my God. You're like, I was, like, ready to come in and tell you how Kyle carried this bum to an amazing match. Oh, my God. He was step for step. Bump for bump. The double knees, the flipping on the double knees, the spot on the apron, the spot on the guardrail.
Dude, the spot where he like swung himself through the ropes and did the hurricanrana to the floor, and then literally Kyle Fletcher is like mouth agape, like, what the fuck did this kid just do to me?
Dude.
He didn't even look like he was in pain. He looked like he was more so just stunned and mad at himself that he just let him get away with that.
He hits his spinning kick. Then does the ultimate weapon. I think that's what his finish, like the double knees to the back. They got me. I thought that was the finish.
Yeah.
Kyle hits the boot and then a brainbuster. I thought that was the finish. And
the slow kick out, man. So
let me. Oh my God. I was just, that was coming out of my mouth, sir. Speedball Mike Bailey. When growing up, it was Ric Flair and versus Barry Windham. They just had this very odd thing. It wasn't an emphatic kick out. It was like one, two, they almost get through, and just the shoulder goes up. It wasn't
Dude,
an
it's
emphatic
like it's
thing.
It's an exasperating kick out.
I'm tired, but I'm not so tired as to not kick it out. I'm tired, but I am not giving up. Like, this match was like, I watched it right before, and again, if you listen to the show, I very rarely watch matches back. But that last 5 minutes of that match was so good. I would literally put it up against the last 5 minutes of any match this year. And I'm talking pay-per-view. I'm talking whatever you want. I would put that last 5 minutes up against anything. I was sure they were fucking going for a draw. They announced the minute that he gets the roll-up and gets the pin. Kyle Fletcher.
The roll-up was so good, dude. Yes. The pop that happened afterwards. Yeah.
Kyle Fletcher's got this look on his face, and it was like, dude, shout out, man. Like, Speedball turned me. I'm not saying I'm a Speedball fan. I'm not going out and buying his merch, but the Speedball slander probably stops today. I still hate
soon,
his look.
Soon enough, man. Soon enough, man. We got this man to turn when he had his feelings towards Darby Allin.
I still hate his look.
We're gonna flip this man around with Speedball. You know, soon enough.
I still hate his look, but god dang. I'm like, man, I've always say I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I can't stand you. I can't whatever. I'm always going to give credit where credit's due. And good Lord, when that bell rings.
Dude, it's nuts. Woo! I mean, like, the fact that this is the first time we've seen these two guys wrestle is insane. And they've already put on the match of the tournament. And again, this has been said outright by many people to be the TV match of the year, like for AEW. Like, I had Match of the Year candidates right now, and, like, I might have to throw my list out because I have to maybe get this match into my top five of the year, at least, like, it feels like.
Dude, I put out my Continental Classic 5 on it, and it's just like, and I'm just like, oh.
Dude, the moment that Speedball gets slammed onto the barricade, I was like, oh, this is what they're going to use to show how he loses the match, because that was such a turning point. For Fletcher to just slam him directly on the barricade in an awkward angle as well. And then they're trading kicks and everything. Like, and then the unbelievable moment where he does the fucking... I don't know how his knees don't explode the moment he tries to do the knee spin, a knee drop on the outside, and he misses. Like, your knees should just absolutely explode right there. And I don't know how... It doesn't have, like, how he survives that, basically. So,
and nobody makes me feel like I know less about wrestling than him, because that the double knee things he does, I'm just like, how's he not fucking injuring the people that he's wrestling for?
And correct.
It just works.
Dude, it reminds me of Pac's coup de grace. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of Finn Balor's coup de grace. Sorry, my apologies. Like, because, like, that double foot stomp, man, I swear to God, like, it should, like, break people's insides. Like, I don't know how, like, you don't die when somebody just takes their knees and their feet and slams them directly into your chest from the top rope. And when he does the knee drop, man, it looks like it fucking sucks. But shouts out to our boy, Speedball Mike Bailey, handing Kyle Fletcher his first loss of the tournament and now has... earned his first win of the tournament, so now he is 1-1 with 3 points. So he is now in a 3-way tie in the Gold League with Pac and Kevin Knight. Huge, huge win right there. And now the Gold League is all tied up with Okada and Fletcher, both at 2-1 with 6 points. So it's a huge, unbelievable moment in the tournament. And then if you want your rounding out of the standings as well, Claudio and Konosuke still tied with 6 points. Claudio's already got 3 matches in. He's got 1 loss. Moxley's got 3-1-2. Masquerada Dorada has 3 with 1-1. Orange Cassidy, 3 points with 1-1. Roderick Strong, 0-2 with 0. So that's your Continental Classic standings as they are right now, since we just had that match before we get into the main event of the show.
Yes, and that match was, it's going to be one of the best matches you see on TV this year. And, yeah, like I said, it turned me. I wonder
how, because I'd have to go back and watch them, how this would stack up in terms of, like, all Continental Classic group stage matches. I wonder how this stacks up. I got to think.
For me, because I put out my top five.
Yeah, I know you did, so.
I think it goes, for me... And that's just trying not to have a knee-jerk reaction. I think it's my new number one. I think it bumped Takeshita and Mox, which is another match you should go back and watch from Collision last week if you haven't. I thought it was great, and Mox and Claudio was great. And I just think it's another level. For me, on my top five, it knocks Takeshita and Mox down to 2, and it knocks Protostar and Okada off the list because, man, again... I didn't think Mike Bailey would end up in my top five. Oh, man, he's one now. So it's going to take a hell of a match to bump that one out of one. I just, dude, emotions, like, you got the flippy shit. You got the physical stuff, but you had the emotional motion on the false finishes and stuff like that. They had me. I had no idea
they
who was going to win.
They had the entire crowd, man.
Yeah, they had no idea who was winning. The Atlanta crowd, shout out to you. That was, y'all were amazing. And, yeah, it was just like, to me, that was the best match of the Continental Classic. Probably the best TV singles match I've seen all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there for me at this point, I feel like. Finally, before we get to the main event, we had Hangman, who basically said he wants the AEW World title back. He's going to be watching Eddie and Joe, and regardless who wins, he's going to go after the world champion at World's End, is where he's laying the line in the sand. Young Bucks have a backstage segment where they were offered a spot in the Million Dollar Trios match against the Don Callis family. They offered their spot to Luchasaurus. He said no and points straight to Kenny Omega's locker room door. And he's like, that's a lot of money to take part in this match and try to win it. But with Don Callis involved, I'd do it for free. So the Elite is going to go up against the Don Callis family in Manchester next week in a trios match, a million-dollar trios match. So Kenny Omega making an appearance in Manchester should be an exciting, exciting moment.
Yeah, and they don't come out to Carry On My Wayward Son. I'm going to set the world on fire.
Absolutely, absolutely. And finally,
with that crowd singing along, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then finally, the main event, the AEW World Championship match between Samoa Joe and Eddie Kingston. And I thought it was a good match.
This was a really good match. This was a Samoa Joe and Eddie Kingston match, and I mean that in every positive way possible. There was like no bullshit. They were trying to beat the shit out of each other. Other than that little shout out to John Cena, it was just
shout out, yeah.
Yeah, it was like just trying to win. Eddie trying not to, and I love it. In the end, it wasn't this big schmoz where he passed out. Eddie actually tapped out. Eddie lost.
He tapped.
Yeah. And like so many people in this world, we've heard rumors about people not wanting to win, and they do a lot of the pass out finishes. That man just tapped. The baby face tapped. Samoa Joe was better on that day. That's how wrestling is. Samoa Joe is the best wrestler in the world, you know, according, you know, as the AEW World Champion. That's how he's supposed to be. He didn't really cheat. He was just better. And
He just basically was worn down by how physical and strong Samoa Joe is. Like, I mean, he was going up against a guy who was a Ring of Honor champion that he looked up to, and it was so physical and dangerous and all this type of stuff, and like Eddie just fought with everything he could, but fighting spirit can only carry you so much. Like, at the end of the day, the champ is the champ. Like, that's just kind of how this match was. Like, Eddie has that fighting spirit. He has all of those things that he says he has, and just is willing to fight tooth and nail with anybody with the force of a fucking pit bull. But in the end, like, it was just basically an old school, strong, physical match for the world title. A good way to close out the show. And yeah, like I said, a good salute to John Cena as well with the STF.
And if they come back to this match and the way they told the story, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is not a prediction by any means. I could see storytelling wise how they could come back and Eddie Kingston could win the title from him. So I thought it was a good story there. Like I said, I'm not saying that's happening by any way. I'm just saying because of how the match finished and Joe was just better than him, I could see if they wanted to build up Kingston, you know, going into getting in better shape, working on this kind of thing. If they wanted to do like the montage thing, I could definitely see them getting behind, the crowd's going to get behind Eddie no matter what, but you could build up to a huge moment if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. But that was AEW Dynamite. Winner is coming. A fucking banger of a show, honest to God. Like, it was such a good show. I highly recommend to anybody, if you missed the show, we did our best recapping it. But if you missed this show, go back and watch it, because you're going to get some good-ass shit. In terms of Winner is Coming Collision, we're going to have the TNT Championship match between Mark Briscoe and Daniel Garcia. Jamie Hayter will team with Chris Statlander to face the Sister of Sins, Sisters of Sin, Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Swerve Strickland goes one-on-one with Josh Alexander, and Continental Classic Blue League, we continue with Claudio Castagnoli facing Konosuke Takeshita.
Dude, Claudio versus Konosuke is going to bang. I do have one prediction to that match. I'm calling that's going to be our first draw of the tournament.
It seems like that would be the case. It seemed like that would be the case.
Because you got CMLL World Champion versus the
IWGP. And the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So I think they might go ahead and tie.
I feel like that would be the case as well. And then in terms of, we have two matches announced for Dynamite Holiday Bash. Actually, three, sorry, because it's going to be a three-hour special. So it's a Dynamite Collision Holiday Bash. Obviously, the $1 million, 750,000-pound winner-take-all trios match between the Elite and the Don Callis family. Members of the Don Callis family wrestling will be Hechicero, Konosuke Takeshita, and Kazuchika Okada. FTR will defend their AEW World Tag Team Championships against the Bang Bang Gang with Austin Gunn and Juice Robinson. And the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal will also be taking place on this show as well. So,
yeah, I think how they – no, from what – remember how they do it is the winner of the Battle Royal then faces MJF for the night.
I was going to say, but does he make an appearance?
Well, I think so. I'm going to call it yes. And I got to tell you, FTR loves wrestling. I don't think they've had a show in the UK that FTR hasn't been on.
These dudes love wrestling in the UK, man.
They seem to love wrestling in the UK. And that crowd reaction, when if they decide to go with it, when Carry On My Wayward Son comes on, oh, my God, they are going to go fucking nuts. A crowd is going to go nuts. Shout out to you, UK. You're probably my favorite place to watch shows right now. It's going to go crazy.
No doubt about it. That is what we've got going up for Holiday Bash.
Make sure you're watching out for all-in tickets going on sale. Because the reason I say that is they always announce it. It's generally the tickets go on sale around Christmas in December. And they are in the UK, so I imagine that's where they're going to announce that when the tickets go on sale.
1,000%. And I think, do we have anything else we want to touch on for AEW? Or do you believe, I think that's all we got.
I think that's all we got. Let's see how the dates are going to line up. I was just trying to see how the dates were going to go line up as far as us doing shows. I know we're going to do a show next week. Christmas is going to be weird because I'm literally leaving two days after.
I would say next week you will do a show. I will not be able to do the show because I will actually be on a cruise for that show.
There you go. I will. I'm going to call in the Sam, and he's going to have
call in the boy Sam.
He's going to have to say no. I'm going to make him say no if he don't want to do it. I'm going to make him say no. I'm going to call him or the imp. See how the imp, I know he does his 30-minute show, how he can bang with the two-hour one. Let's see how we can do that. No, but we have our AEW brain trust. Somebody's going to be available to do the show. And then, like I said, the next week after that, more than likely, with it being, I think that's the Christmas week.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Yeah, more than likely, the best you're going to get is, we will probably do a preview for World's End. But we probably won't be actually covering that show that week because we'll both family stuff, Christmas. I'm going to Chicago for the show. So it's going to be a busy few days. So we want to watch out for that. But we're going to do a better job of preparing y'all for when there might not be a show or something like that. So
no doubt, for sure. But that, I think, is going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. You will probably see or hear me I might pop in for something for Christmas with Floyd just for a split second, just be able to wish everybody a happy holidays. Maybe we'll touch on a couple things. But regardless, thank you guys so much for tuning in for the show. We appreciate your guys' support. If you guys enjoy the show and are enjoying All Things Elite, we appreciate you guys, and we would love it if you guys continue to support the show by downloading us, whether you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Those downloads mean a lot So turn automatic downloads on, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, rate, review, subscribe, and then follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, and also be able to support, make sure you support our friends at Social Suplex. This show would not exist without the guys from Social Suplex. So give them some love. They're at Social Suplex on Twitter, and listen to all their other incredible shows that they have on their network. I'm at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, and be sure to sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Link is in the description of this show. I got nothing else to say. I will pass it off to my boy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Yes, I promise we're not just doing advertisement, but I do want to make sure we mention two valuable things. Social Suplex is doing their annual FOH draft this Saturday, and for the first time, it's going to be available live. They've set up a PayHip account. It'll be in the link. The link will be in the show. It's $20. You get to go in live. You get to suggest things that they can tell to get the fuck out of here. So it's just literally a lot of it's just a lot of bad shit that happened in wrestling. They are getting drunk. Why? As for me, as Soul Suplex, I'll be watching live. I will be high. And I will probably be sipping on something as I listen to the show. It's a great time. I buy it every year. I'm on the Social Suplex, and I buy it every year because it is such a fun and entertaining time. And it gets even more fun and entertaining as they keep drinking through the show. So make sure you check that out. And for anyone, this is from Keeping the Strong Style, anyone going to Japan, For Wrestle Kingdom, they are doing like New Japan Podcast Summit. So it's like four different New Japan podcasts, Keeping the Strong Style, and Super J-Cast are the ones I know off the top of my head. They are doing a meet, and they got a shirt for the meet. I bought three, about one for me and two of my friends. We'll be at the meetup, and it'll be good to see Joel from the Super J-Cast because, like, they were my first New Japan podcast, so it'll be good to see all the people there. But I want to make sure if you're listening to the show and you happen not to listen to other shows that you're paying attention and supporting them as much as possible. So thank you for that. And I will say this, we are officially 13 days from Christmas. Don't stress yourself out. The people that you love, know you love them. The people, a gift is not going to change that or not. And or if they get it on the 29th or they get it in January, don't go broke trying to give, gifts away, that kind of stuff. Sometimes a message on Twitter or Facebook or a note or a song, letting them know what they mean to you is just as good as any gift that out there. Most people have stuff. And they can get more stuff. They can acquire more stuff. They can lose stuff. What we do, but telling your friends how you feel about them, telling your family, telling the people in it, you may say, "Hey, they know I love them. They know I love them. They know I love them." A lot of times people don't. A lot of the times the person that you think knows that you love them needs to hear it. So take this time of season. Tell the people that you love them. Like I said, gifts are great, but that's money, and it's they're a great gesture. But feelings, a moment, and especially this time of year when people are feeling down and you tell them how you mean to them, can mean the world to them. It could be the difference between a good day and bad day. So with that, I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.